new version of Fab's Auto Backup is out just for technicians. This thing will blow you away, save you a ton of time. Check it out at podnuts.com/Fabs, F-A-B-S.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tim, and I am the host of the most informative computer repair podcast around. This is Podnuts Daily, episode number 317. I had to check there. Today, we are joined by a really special guest this week, Andrew and Mark from Mikogo.com. What's up, guys?
Hi, Tim. Hi. Thanks for having us. Great to be here.
Great. Hey, I always like to start off with the weather here. I think, Mark, you said you're in Germany, if I got that right. Andrew, you're in London. Is that correct? How's the weather there?
Well, for me, it's, pretty nice. Blue sky, sunshine, good conditions for the Wimbledon tennis tournament that's taking place at the moment. So, it's all quite good over here.
Yeah, over here in Germany, it's also great. Quite hot. Around 92 degrees Fahrenheit, and we had a bit of rain in the morning, but it looks nice and sunny outside. It's 6 p.m. over here.
6 o'clock. It's midday here, Southeast Georgia. And I complain about being dry and hot. We actually got some rain here this week, so I'm a little happier about that. Wimbledon, wow. I would love to attend a Wimbledon match. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's quite difficult, though. Quite difficult to get in. A lot of demand, obviously. It's a big tournament.
I bet. Yeah. Well, hey, guys, before we get into, obviously, Mikogo is a big brand name in the tech field. Before we get into your product here, let me talk a little bit about a rootkit that's been going around here, and it's kind of getting a good buzz going on the Podnuts forums and the Podnuts community. And Microsoft even released a statement. And this rootkit, basically what it does is it pretty much renders your master boot record useless. Basically, when you boot the computer, you get the post, you get your post. And when after that, is nothing but a black screen with a flashing cursor. So, you could run all your tools to try to fix that, fix MBR to fix your master boot record. That doesn't work. Your emergency rescue disks to try to remove this rootkit. It doesn't remove it. It says it does, but when you boot the computer, you still have the flashing cursor. You can also try, if you have XP, if it gets into XP, if you try a repair install with your installation disk, a repair install, as soon as you click the repair, go through the repair process, you still get the flashing cursor. The only way to correct this problem is to do a nuke and pave, just wipe completely and reinstall your operating system. The name of this rootkit is, let's see, is, I hope I pronounced this right. It's Popurb, P-O-P-U-R-E-B. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Popurb, something like that. I know myself, and I think Steve D'Amico too will attest that this really isn't a new rootkit. I've had this in my shop at least three times in the past year. And I know Steve D'Amico has had it a few times also, but it seems to be getting around because it's hitting the forums now and Microsoft's talking about it. So just want to throw that out there to everyone. It's kind of interesting. This is a really, really nasty one. So, yeah. Okay, Andrew and Mark. Mikogo, that's a remote desktop software. And I've played with it a little bit. The first thing that I noticed with it is, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have to download a small client and on each computer that you want to connect remotely. Am I right? Am I wrong? Just take us from there, guys.
That's true. Both parties that that are involved in a session, the presenter and the viewer are required to download an executable on a Windows computer, that is, and a DMG on a Mac computer. On the Windows side, it's a portable version, so they don't need to, or there is a portable version available, so they don't need to install if they don't want to. On the viewer side, they can download just a temporary download executable, and there's a DMG download for the Mac. So yes, there is a download for both. However, they can opt to choose the portable version, so there's no installations. This is the case with our current software version 3, and we're towards the end of a beta stage for the next release of our software version 4, which includes a whole range of new features. But one of the big things that I think a lot of the PodNuts community will be interested in is that this version 4 release is going to include a Linux version. We've got the Linux version. We've built it internally, and we've been testing it internally a lot as well, making sure we can iron out make sure it's as stable and as perfect as possible. And then we're going to release it to the beta testers anytime soon. So that'll be quite cool when we have the Linux version as well. So then you can join a session from a Linux version, start a session from a Linux version, and join start from PC and Mac computers as well. So that'll be quite cool.
Wow, yeah, that's big news.
On top of that, we will actually have an iPad and iPhone app coming up, and an Android app is also in the works. So you will be able to join a session even while you're on the go and connected, wirelessly somewhere. So you can join into a session and watch what others present to you.
Very nice. So let's just start from the beginning with this, with Makogo. Take me through the steps of how, I would go about installing this product. And if I had a client or that I need to share my desktop with or see their desktop, what's the process that's involved with installing and getting this thing set up?
Okay. Well, on a Windows computer, basically, someone can download the portable version or the installation version. They can then start a session, and when they do, they receive a unique 9-digit ID. They can invite their client to go to the Makogo website, click on join session, enter this 9-digit session ID. If they join from a Mac, it's going to ask them to download a DMG file. If they join from a PC, it's going to ask them to download a temporary download. And when they do that, they'll enter the 9-digit session ID, click join session, and they'll then be joined in a live desktop sharing session.
So it's almost like I don't want to cross-reference another company, but it's sort of like a GoToMeeting type product. So how about file sharing? Are you capable of doing file sharing?
Yeah, there is a file transfer feature included. So the users can transfer, the organizer, the presenter can transfer to the viewer or vice versa, can transfer files directly within the or through the Makogo session up to about 200 megabytes.
Cool. So how about, let's see. How about this one? So you have a free version, is that correct? And a paid version?
We have, basically Makogo is a product, a desktop sharing product, and the company is Beam Your Screen. The company was started 2004 and by Mark and Eric. They started Beam Your Screen to create an easy to use and secure desktop sharing program for professionals for sales presentations and online meetings. And of course, Beam Your Screen is the company and the company product, that the prime product, and it's a paid solution. A few years later, in 2007, a lot of people came to the company, a lot of users, and said, yeah, Beam Your Screen's great. We really love it. It's easy to use. It's exactly what we want, but I only use it for helping friends and family or something like this, you know, with a few remote support situations or some, you know, ad hoc desktop sharing. I don't really need a monthly subscription. Is there something else? And so Mark and Eric came up with the idea of Mikogo, a free, easy to use desktop sharing solution that will be ideal for these kinds of one-off occasions, mainly for the students that came. I think, Mark, that was right. There was a lot of students that came asking for this sort of product.
Yes, absolutely. We initially thought it's mainly a product for private use and students in particular. But then a lot of small businesses and small business users signed up. We have quite a few gamers using our tool, teachers in for remote assistance and remote teaching. So it's various kinds of use cases. Of course, computer repair and life support, remote support is one of it. So I would describe our product as a combination of kind of GoToMeeting and GoToAssist in one product. So you can use it to show your screen, but you can also configure it to have a remote screen and have the remote control. And we do all the things that are required in order to provide life support, like we support UAC and all the things that you need to fix a computer problem remotely.
Yeah, so basically, when it happened, or when Mikoyo got started, it did we envisioned it as a free online meeting tool for the private user. But as Mark said, a lot of small businesses picked it up, and it kind of took off via word of mouth. And so suddenly, we had hundreds and thousands of users using it for meetings as well as support. So now, as Mark said, it's a sort of combination of GoToAssist or GoToMeeting, but for free. And it can be used for both, you know, sales presentations, online meetings, as well as the other end of the spectrum being remote support.
Yeah, that's really great. I mean, the word free is like, wow, you can't beat that. I was playing around with it, and here's what I noticed. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, so I basically just pretty much installed the client on both of my computers here in my home. I started a session. You have to create an account at Mikogo.com. You have to create an account, and then you start a session from your client on the computer that you want to, I guess, host, I guess you could call it, the session. And then basically, just like you said, I went to my other computer, installed it, installed the Mikogo client on there, click join session. And then I think from the actual Mikogo website, you can do join session. You download a small client. Then you type in the code name, the code word that was given from my original computer that I started the original session from. Now, from that point, I could see my desktop that was on the original computer that I installed Mikogo on and started the first session. So I'm sitting here going, well, this is really neat because, okay, well, I have a little question for you guys. You can answer it as soon as I'm done here, is how many users can connect at one time to view the desktop? Now, so I was trying to figure out though, how in the world, if I was doing a remote session here and I was trying, if I was sitting in my shop trying to repair a customer's computer remotely, I start the session, they would have to join the session, they would see my desktop. So there's a way to reverse that in the client when it started. Maybe you could explain more about it, but there was a setting to where I could reverse the screen. In other words, instead of them viewing my screen, I can then turn around and just view theirs. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's that's right. So during a session, the client has joined your session and can view your desktop. And there's an easy way to do it. You just click on the Mikogo menu and pick Switch Presenter. One thing that is always nice to note about Mikogo is we're very strict about security. You know, we want to make sure it's secure, so you can't just view someone's screen without them knowing about it. So they'll get a little pop-up saying, "Are you sure you want Tim to view your screen?" And they would, of course, accept. So that's one way of doing it, but that's a great way. Switching the Switch Presenter feature is a great way to you know, during a meeting, so one person, you know, not a remote support situation, but a meeting, one person's talking about their sales figures and they're showing those, and then the other person says, oh, I have something I want to show you. So they quickly switch present and they switch present back and forth. That's great for meetings. But for remote support, which what you're looking for, Tim, there is a way that, you know, in the settings, before you start a session, you can click, you can select the initial viewing direction, and that will allow you to select view another screen, show my screen, or view and control another screen.
Oh, so I see that.
You would pick the view and control another screen. Then you start the session. You get the ID just like you did before, the session ID. The client goes to join.mikoga.com just like they did before, and they enter the session ID. But this time when they join the session, it will tell them, do you want to show your screen again for security? They will say yes, and then you will instantly see their screen, not the other way around, which is, of course, much more appropriate for a remote support situation.
Absolutely. I'm glad you pointed that out. Like I said, I'm still new to it. Now that I'm going to try. I like that. So once that happens, then you're in full control pretty much of the client's computer.
Exactly. And full control. I mean, that's, you know, if anyone out there who's listening, thinking about being a client during a remote support situation, full control. Yes, Tim would have full control of the client's computer. However, the Mikogo includes some keyboard shortcut, some shortcut keys. They just would hit F12 on a PC, and F12? Shift
Control F12. F12, yeah.
Control F12 and Control Escape on a Mac, and that would instantly disable Tim's remote control. So it's always just a peace of mind, you know, from the client's point of view, that they can disable remote control if they didn't want something happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We want the other person, like the one who is showing your screen. We want that person to be in control all the time. So we always show who is in control, and we show the mouse cursor moving around, so you can follow and actually learn as the customer what's being done on your computer.
Yeah, that's right. And I know that I've seen in some other cases that you can black out the screen of the client and stuff. You can't do that in Mikoga. The client always knows what's happening on their computer. And like I said, with the pop-up windows that say, do you accept Tim, or do you accept the other person to see and control your screen? These pop-ups, we call that the explicit consent part of our security. So it's quite important, I think. It's a good peace of mind for the user.
So all the data, I guess with all the data that's transferred between the two machines is encrypted, eh?
Yes, we used 256-bit AES encryption, and it's end-to-end encryption, so everything is secure. I saw that in the chat, a question about the number of people who can join the session. We support up to 11 people right now in one session, so the presenter and 10 guests, up to 10 guests. We'll soon push that up to 25. So we'll have up to 25 people who can join one session. So that's great for, you know, webinars and training sessions with more people. And
Yeah, that's one of the big questions in remote support is how many people can connect, how many, you know, users at once. So that's big. 25 is huge in that category.
Yeah, it's actually more than GoToMeeting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like it. Really good stuff.
About the rebooting in safe mode, just asked on the chat. You can actually log off and log on with a different user account. We currently don't support rebooting of the computer and automatic reconnect, but that's also, you know, because of our security concept. We want the user to be in control all the time. We don't want that when he restarts your computer or starts a computer, a service is running in the back and connecting to a server without the user knowing it. So that's why we haven't implemented such a feature as of now. But you're able to log off and log on with a different user account. And so you could log on with an admin account and, you know, install a program and then go back into the user's account, which might be a restricted user account. What I'd like to emphasize as well is you don't really have to install Mikogo in order to use it. It's just a little executable file that is executed and put into the random access memory. And it works from there. And once you end the program, it's gone. You know, you don't have to uninstall it to get rid of it. You can actually carry it around with you on a USB stick, for example. We also don't span your desktop like you know, some other tools do, where they leave icons and, you know, try to ask you to click on it to register for a trial or whatever. We're very clean, we're very open, and we don't leave a trace on your computer. Yep.
That is one thing that I noticed. Definitely the standalone part of it. The download is very small. It's standalone, doesn't install on your computer, just as Mark said. And let's see, what else was I going? Oh,
and if I can add something to that, Tim.
Sure.
What one thing you said before was, you know, obviously the free label is like a very attractive selling point. And this is, of course, true, very, very true. But something that we've noticed over the last few years, when we ask for testimonials, case studies, people writing comments on our Facebook wall or Twitter, they don't highlight the free fact so much. They're just so impressed about how easy it is to use compared to what they were expecting. There's one statement on our testimonials page that says, "I must say that Mikogo was the most hassle-free installation I've seen in a long time." If someone was to take a look at our testimonials page, they would just notice that simple and easy to use pops up more often than anything. And that's really the strong selling point. We can say that on our homepage, it's easy to use, but, you know, you can't really say it enough. But that's a really probably more valuable to the user than the cost or the lack of cost.
That's exactly what was going to be my very next point was, installing it was just a breeze. I was up and running, remoting, and viewing my other desktop here in literally just a minute. I mean, it didn't take long at all to do. It's really simple to use.
Yeah, it's great. Exactly.
Yeah, and the starting and joining sessions is very fast as well. It's a matter of seconds. I'd also like to answer some of the questions raised in the chat. As Andrew mentioned briefly in the beginning, the official version right now is out in the market is version 3, and we have version 4 in beta right now. And in July, we will release it as the official version. There has been so many new features and so many improvements in version 4. We will be fully cross-platform, not just with Windows and Mac, but also Linux. And we'll support hosting and joining sessions from Linux. And so that will require everyone to update. But the great thing is we have an automatic update process built into version 3. So you'll automatically get notified about this update once it's been released. And it's just a click and you say yes, and then it'll download the new version 4. So everyone should be on new version 4 once we release it within a day or two. And that'll be very, very easy to upgrade, similar to what, you know, Microsoft is doing with their Windows updates. And about the Control-Alt-Delete, that's one of the features that will be added in version 4. We'll have a number of special keyboard combinations that you cannot transmit so easily via the normal remote control function. And we'll have a separate area in the panel where you can click on buttons to control, alt, delete, or to open the Windows Start menu, etc. So that's covered in version 4, a question asked by 001.
Yeah, it's
thanks,
already
Ray.
already available in version 4, available in version 4.1. It's called the remote keyboard combinations, UMP001. If you wanted to take a look, you'd simply find a screenshot of it in the user guide for version 4. Feel free to download version 4.1 and try it out.
It's actually an open beta, so you can go to our website, mikogo.com, click on the download link in the main menu, and then new version 4 on our website. And everything is there for you to try it out. Another advantage with version 4 is that you don't have to register for it in order to use it. So version 3, you needed an account, and version 4, we have a version that you can use without any kind of registration. Just download it, put it on your USB stick or on your desktop and start a session, use it right away. And if you want to use certain advanced features like a scheduler, you would have to have an account. So there's an optional registration for features like a scheduler or a profile manager. Because those are user-specific things that we cannot offer without a registration.
What exactly does a scheduler do, Mark?
A scheduler, we have these 9-digit session IDs. And sometimes you would like to invite people up front. So you're not in an ad hoc scenario where you have a session, you're on the phone with the other person, and you can tell the 9-digit number over the phone. But you would like 10 people to join your webinar, for example, and then you want to email out the session ID a week in advance, for example. And so you can reserve a session ID in the scheduler, and then it's going to be yours as long as you need it. And you can then start that scheduled session at any time you want and as often as you want.
Very nice. Very, very nice. I like that.
Yeah, so that's one reason why we removed. So basically, the registration, we removed the need to register an account. So people can now download version 4 and they can start sessions and use the high majority of features without a registered account. But if they wanted to use the account-based features such as the scheduler, then they would need a registered account because they need to be able to. We need to be able to assign those session IDs to their account.
Yeah. But even the registration is a very quick process. We just ask you for your name and an email address, and the name is just there to address you and the email address, so we can send you your password if you lose it. So we're not trying to get a lot of user information. We don't ask you for your company, your interests, or whatever. We just want to give you an account so you can use those advanced features. And we have the minimal number of fields that we need to get in order to get you up and running.
Yeah, we don't want your address or your mother's maiden name or any of those things that they've included that some people include in those very long registration forms. The registration is purely there so you can use the advanced features.
Yeah. And I'm noticing here that, speaking of advanced features, if you're like displaying your desktop, presenting your desktop to other people using Mikogo, I'm noticing here that there are some pretty cool little options, like you can hide your desktop background from being viewed, your taskbar and system, your browser, some folders. I'm noticing that, so you can kind of hide that from whoever's viewing your session. Correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's known as the application selection. So basically Mikogo, during a desktop sharing session, anything that you have on your screen, your clients or your viewers can see on their screens. That includes your browser, your desktop, your email client, Word, documents, Excel, PDFs, anything. So application selection basically allows you to select or show or hide certain applications. So obviously you would not want to necessarily share your email client, but there may be a time when you want to open your Outlook inbox. So you would uncheck the your Outlook, and then, or your email inbox, whatever it is, whatever you use. And then when the time comes that you want to quickly open it up to, you know, quickly because you want to read an email because, you know, there was some information, maybe a password in there, some info that you need to quickly get, you can open up your email client, and on the viewer's side, they will see just a blue box appear. Basically, the blue box covers up the email client, so they can't actually see your email client. So, you know, you may uncheck everything because you want to hide everything except perhaps your PowerPoint, you know, because you're making a presentation. So that's the only thing that you want to share. Everything else just becomes becomes hidden in a blue screen.
Neat. We also have this back monitor feature, which is kind of a little version of your monitor that you can display to yourself in order to see how your participants would see your screen. So if you, to give you the confidence that people only really see what you want them to show, you can enable this back monitor or preview monitor, and you see how they see it. And
oh, wow. Oh, that's right. I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a small screen that appears down in your toolbar there where you can kind of view and see what they're seeing.
You can actually click on it and move it around. Just click, hold, and then move it wherever you want.
Oh, that is nice. I love that feature. Hey, I also like the high desktop wallpaper, so that way I don't have to worry about the bikini girls I have as my desktop background. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about nobody seeing that. So.
Right. And plus, it improves speed. You know, it has a practical meaning as well. You don't have to transmit that wallpaper because it's not really useful for the remote support or your online presentation sessions, and it further increases your speed. By the way, in the new version 4, you're even able to change the monitors. So if you have two or three monitors attached to your computer, you can select to either show all three or four monitors, or just select one of them or any two of them. So it's very flexible, and you could have your Outlook on one monitor and your presentation on the other, and just show the one with the presentation.
That is impressive.
And also for the computer repair people out there, there's another feature that would be of interest, the picture quality setting. Which is under the application selection area, or near the application selection area, where you can change the picture quality setting so basically what happens if you change it to the fast setting, it will make your screen black and white so that your viewer can see all the screen changes much faster, whereas if during a presentation you would put it to the high quality so that everything is in true color quality, which is ideal for a presentation. But obviously a remote support session, you don't care what the color is or anything, you just want to get the job done. So you change it to black and white, and the screen sharing can speeds up a little.
That would be very good for also people that have very low bandwidth.
Exactly. If you're on a slow modem or a wireless connection and you have a computer problem and you phone your help desk, and you know, you just have whatever 50 kbps or 20 kbps or even below, it still works. And as a computer technician, you don't have to see everything in, you know, full color. It's okay to have it in grayscale.
So what is this, guys? Real quick, this I see something here. It's called instant screen buildup. What is that?
That's also something that we have implemented for to speed it up even further. You know, when you have a change on your screen, we only transmit the screen area with the change, and we slice this area into many small areas, and then we transmit those areas over to the other to the remote computer, and. In a presentation mode, you don't want those pixels and pixel areas flying in as they arrive at the computer, because it would be it would look like something is building up all the time. And for presentations, you don't want that mode switched on. You want to wait for the change to arrive at the remote computer completely, and then apply the change to the viewing window. But in remote support, to further speed up the transmission, you would want to see the change as soon as possible. And we've even implemented something that will transmit the low color areas first and the high color areas last. So when you transmit your screen, the big white and gray areas would be transmitted first, and then the little icons with high color elements would come in later. But as a support technician, you know how those icons look. You don't have to wait for them. You can already click onto the next icon, and so we try to get the maximum possible speed in any bandwidth situation to you if you want to have it in that kind of lower quality, super high speed, and display everything as it arrives.
That gives you more of a real time option there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a real time option. Yeah.
Hey, here's something else I noticed I really love. Recording. You can record your session. That's really important to a repair technician also.
Exactly, exactly. You know, you don't want people to tell you a day later that, you know, you messed up something and you've done something on their computers and now nothing works at all. So you want, sometimes you want proof that about what you have done, the actions you have performed, and the things you have not done and you're definitely not liable for. So we've put this recording option. So while you're accessing a remote computer or while in a session, you're able to record, and it will be a small file on your computer, and then you can always show it to them and basically prove what you have done and what you have not done.
Yeah, that's really important. I mean, this is great. Okay, so
there's
we're talking about
features.
Go
ahead. Sorry, I was just going to say there's a couple of questions in the chat. One by Wilbur Bear, is there a time limit of the session? Can I use it every day and many times a day? So firstly, a time limit. There's no time limit. You can use it every day. And yes, you can use it many times a day. So that's basically answered that. So it's no, yes, yes. any tech version coming out or a pro version? I'm not really so sure what he means by a tech version. Think big. But maybe he'll get back to us.
Yeah. So we're talking about features. I love the features of some of the other remote programs. And so far, this is kind of measuring up really good. I haven't used the remote part of this application. So can you guys think of or touch on any of the other features that Makogo gives you as a remote support person? Such as like Zoom, do you have any magnification tools? I don't know. If there's anything we've missed on that.
I think there's another great feature, which some people don't notice, but I think it's important for security, and security is always important when you're dealing with remote support, is the lock session feature. This is also great for presentations. The lock session feature, Tim, if you were to go and click on the M icon and then on your computer, then the menu pops up. There'll be a lock session. What that does is when you lock the session, if someone else was to try to join with the session ID, they won't be able to get into the session, even if they were able to randomly guess the 9-digit session ID. The odds of someone randomly guessing a 9-digit session ID is close to, you know, 1 in 100 million or something. But, you know, there's always that one chance. So by locking the session, there's no chance that anyone can get into a session, even if they were to know the session ID. So again, just an extra bit of peace of mind. You lock the session once the client is in or the multiple people are in, if it's a presentation. And there's no chance that anyone else is going to enter the session. So, like I said, a bit of extra peace of mind. There's also a way to add a password to the session as well. So, again, for extra security.
Yeah, and we have chat included, which is also quite nice during support session. And you can chat with the other person. For those who do webinars, they can actually limit group chat. So you can prevent others, other participants from chatting with each other. They are only allowed to chat with you if you want that. But of course, you can also have an open group chat where everyone can chat with each other. So it's really very powerful. You know, you can customize Mikogo according to your needs and according to your typical use case. And that's why we created Profile Manager. As I mentioned earlier, the Profile Manager and the Scheduler are two features that you have as additional advanced features once you register for an account. And the Profile Manager allows you to pick the features that you need and put them into a profile. And then whenever you start a session and apply that profile, only that feature set is included in that session. So you could, for example, define a support profile, a standard support profile for your typical customers on a you know, high speed connection where you would have full color, you would set the initial viewing direction to see their screen right from the beginning, and you would probably include file transfer and chat. And then for your people on mobile connections or on low bandwidth connections, you could reduce the color set and maybe take out the file transfer or the chat function to save bandwidth. And then whenever you start a session with that profile, it automatically applies all the parameters that you defined. So it's very good. You can have your profile for webinars, meetings, presentations, team collaboration among your peers, and define for each profile what you want to have. And this allows us to add more features in the future while still being very, very easy to use, because everyone can just pick the features they want and kind of have a mass customized version of Mikogo.
Yeah, so someone was asking before about what distinguishes Mikogo from other desktop sharing tools, and that's something that's quite strong, that the Profile Manager, the ability to customize the software so that so that you can really have these saved profiles, one for remote support, one for online meetings, one for presentations, one for webinars, all saved in the one client, just right there for easy access, really makes it a very powerful desktop sharing application.
I would have to agree. So far, I am quite impressed with that. Lots of features that I had no idea. Very good. In the chat, how about does Mikogo work in safe mode with networking?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You don't need any admin rights. You just need a network connection. Of course, if you start in safe mode without network connections, it won't work, but that's right. Quite normal. And yeah, you don't have to have an administrator account. Just run the executable. And as I said, you can even carry it around with you. Don't even have to have it on your computer. You could just put it on a USB stick.
Yeah. Wilbur Bear asked, did you talk about the whiteboard? I'm not sure what he means by that. Do you guys know?
We do have a whiteboard in Mikogo. The whiteboard allows you to draw on your screen over any application. And you could highlight things. There's a laser pointer.
Okay.
Yeah, everything that you need when you do application training, for example. Let's say you want to train someone how to use Outlook or where to click. And then you don't just have to do it with your mouse cursor. Of course, they could follow you doing it, but you could even highlight, put a circle around it, underline something. And with version 4, we even allow participants to draw on your screen. So you can have a collaborative whiteboard session where everyone is brainstorming ideas or discussing a draft, a concept, or something like that.
Neat. Now, I think that's pretty unique, I think, with that. I've never heard of that. And now I know what he means by whiteboard. Highlighters, drawing tools. Yes. Yeah, that's great, man. Just sounds awesome. So is there anything else that we haven't discussed about your product here? I do have some emails if you want to go into those, or is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
Well, for your international audience, it might be interesting that we have version 4 in more than 30 languages. So even if you're, you know, doing cross-border support, you know, with someone who prefers to speak Spanish or Chinese or whatever, they can change the language, and we automatically detect the OS language and use that as a default. And you could basically, you know, have your Mikogo in Dutch or Chinese or Russian, Arabic, Malay, Polish, Norwegian, you know, you name it.
Yeah, if you go to the Mikogo website and click on Company and then Hall of Fame, here you'll see all the people that we have recognized for helping us translate the software. Mikogo is now used in approximately over 180 countries, so it's really a worldwide international tool. And that's only when we've had the English version. So we have so many people using Mikogo around the world, and a lot of people asking us, can we get Mikogo in our native language, whether it be Croatian, Czech, Dutch, whatever. And so we said, sure, if you'd like to help us, we'd really appreciate the support. And so, you know, being a free tool and everything, we'd like to help out. We'd like to give these the community what they asked for. But of course, we need a bit of help, and they came to us and said we'd like to help out. And so. Wow. We are, together with the, the Mikogo team, and together with the translating community, we've managed to translate Mikogo into 35 languages, or 35 including English. So obviously we didn't have to translate English, but 35 languages in total. And that's it's really quite a lot, I think you'd agree. So yeah, that's quite a cool feature for Mikogo as well.
Hey, hats off to you guys on that, man. That's really great. It's such a great, you know, tool from what you guys are saying. I mean, why not? You know, I mean, it should be available to, worldwide. That's really good.
Yeah. And I think the translators, they were the ones who sort of came to us and said, we love your tool, but you know, I understand English, but I use it with my colleagues here in wherever it may be, Spain, France, and I'd like to be able to invite them to a French desktop sharing session or something. And of course that makes perfect sense. So we sort of teamed up, and yeah, the translating community has been fantastic.
Awesome, guys.
I think it's quite similar to how Facebook got their website translated. I think they also utilized the all the Facebook people around the world. At least that's what I read about anyway. So yeah, so it's quite cool. Of course, we're not the size of Facebook, but getting there.
Hey, it worked for them, that's for sure.
Exactly, exactly.
Not a bad lead to follow.
No, not bad. And Mikogo was started by Mark, and just a different Mark. Mark Zuckerberg and Mark Tonler. So there you go.
thanks to them for that. It sounds like a really great tool. The price is certainly right. It's just definitely something that I think I'm going to start using regularly now. I'm liking it. I really am. And I think with you guys talking about it, I think we're going to have lots of other techs using this software. So thanks a lot for talking about it.
No, you're welcome. Great to hear that you like the tool. And thanks to everyone in the other chat session with all their questions. Hope that's been informative for them.
Yeah. So, Andrew and Mark, I'm going to go into a few emails here. If you guys want to just hang on, if you want to comment on them, you can. If not, you know, I'll comment on them if I can. But I'll just go into a few of those before we end the show. Okay.
Sure.
Okay, sure. No worries.
Okay. Okay, emails. This is one from Robert. Hiya, Steve. Well, he's still writing to Steve. I have been working on laptops just for a hobby. I am retired and bought your course for a pastime. So I guess he's talking about the laptop videos. He bought his laptop videos. So a few people give me old laptops, which I try to fix to give them to kids who could not afford one. Now I came across the Toshiba Satellite A65, which it didn't turn on, so I had to check everything as you had instructed me. My indication was to change the motherboard, which I did. So when I went to turn it on, I pressed the button to turn it on. It lights up as I press button. This is what he's typing here, but quickly turns off as I let it go. Yet it don't stay on. Steve, what am I doing other than I old and confused? Thanks for your time on this. God bless. Okay, Robert, let's see. So Toshiba Satellite, he replaced the motherboard. He presses the power button and it immediately shuts off. Basically, Robert, you know, like any troubleshooting any other laptop in that situation, what I would do is probably pull your components, get the motherboard as naked as possible. Keep trying to power it on with as least amount of things plugged into it. Pull the battery, maybe, perhaps. You always want to check that before you determine it's a bad motherboard. Maybe you have, I don't know. But you really didn't really give enough information on that. But try that. Sounds like you may have a component that might be causing you to shut down. You guys have anything to add to that?
Sorry?
No, that's okay. I was just wondering if you guys had anything to add to that email.
I think that's, I wouldn't, that's about what I would recommend.
Okay, let's see. Here's one from James. Great job on the tech shows. I love them. Ran across the XP 2011 antivirus today and had an awful time trying to remove it. Spent hours trying to get it removed. It would not allow me to activate any pre-install removal tools, and it would not let me install any, even through the safe mode. Okay, that's what he types here. Finally, at wit's end, I tried a system restore to a previous time, and it reset the computer and let me in to run Malwarebytes and other removal tools. Just thought I would let everyone know that this was a good way to get rid of it. I have heard others having this problem and even having to reinstall the operating system. Maybe this will help prevent this in the future. Thanks for all your shows. I'm a big fan, and I have purchased your laptop repair videos. They are great. Okay, James, very good point. Steve, as everyone knows, is a big fan of System Restore. And, you know, I think it's a good tool in some situations. Here's the thing. A lot of the viruses now are getting into the restore points. And so basically, two things may happen with this. You can restore the computer and you're still infected. Worst case scenario, you go to restore the computer and the restoration fails and you're left with an operable boot operating system. So that's happened to me once or twice. I'm reluctant. However, I will say that I have used System Restore in some occasions, and it has worked for me, especially Windows 7. Restoration works really well. I have seen viruses now that will actually just disable System Restore. So that's something else to keep in mind. If you have System Restore, I would say, you know, run it, especially if it's Windows 7. Okay, let's see. Let's try this one here. This is from Billy Cochran. Hi, Steve. I just received my first job as a PC technician, and boy, it has me scared. It's an Acer Aspire One Happy 2D QPP netbook that has a screen that goes all white with big black blobs when you turn on the laptop. I presume the screen is shot, And from raking the net for information, it appears lots of people have this problem. Very delicate piece of kit. Info online is very sparse. Videos rarer still. No screws visible on the bezel. Just two very flush caps at the bottom. One left and one right. I am afraid to go poking around at these in case I scratch the area. Do you have any experience with these, Steve? Any help would be very much appreciated. Billy, wow, the Acer Aspire 1 Happy. I love how they name that. The 2D QPP. Well, with a netbook, you're having screen issues. The first question I would have for you, Billy, is did you try an external monitor? Are you still having those same screen problems with an external? If you are, then I would definitely would think it would be the screen. But to get into those, you know, they're really with netbooks, they're really kind of simple. Now, you mentioned you have two what did you call those? Like little flush caps at the bottom. If you can. Here's what I do. I take my rework station. You can use a hot air, like a hair dryer. Put it on low heat, and you can heat up the area where those little flush caps are. They're just little plastic glued caps that cover the screws. So you can kind of just heat those up nice and even, nice and slowly, and heat it up to where it kind of loosens the glue. And then you can kind of pick at it, you know, with a sharp plastic tool or something. And that'll help you get it off without scuffing it up or the area around it. And there's two screws under there, I'm thinking, that you can remove. And then with the bezel, you just have to kind of pry the bezel off with something like a spooge. They're usually kind of glued. They use adhesive or double-sided tape. But, you know, it comes off pretty easy if you just be nice and gentle with it. And it just snaps on with a little bit of adhesive. So don't be scared of those. I think you're going to be okay with that, but check your external monitor first. Definitely. Okay. One more here, guys, from Reliant, which is Kevin here. Hello, Tim. Just recently, I came across a new variant of a virus known as Windows 7 Virus 2012 Scanner. It infected a customer's HP G7250 Windows 7 upgrade computer, right down to the point where it got into safe mode. I used the list of usual suspects of virus scanners to get the job done. I was able to get rid of the virus itself, only it left behind a symptom. The Windows 7 notification area by the taskbar clock kept showing up after reboot with Windows errors. The errors were marked as Windows Defender needs to be started and Avast needed to be started. After several more attempts to find this leftover virus, I decided it was time for a reinstall. The computer worked fine afterwards, and the customer is happy. Wow, these fake scanners, man, are just getting everybody. It's running rampant. Kevin, yes, you know, sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes these viruses dig themselves in to the point to where they break Windows, and, you know, you're left with either battling with it for hours more, or if it's feasible to just reinstall the operating system. So Kevin made the call on that. I think it was the right call. Good job, Reliant. Okay. I think we have some more emails, but I'll save this for next show. Andrew and Mark, you guys were awesome guests. Very informative. The Makogo product you brought to the table is an awesome tool for remote support and desktop viewing, I guess. So before we sign off, where can we find you guys?
Yeah. So Tim, thanks a lot for having us. And Kevin, to that last support question, or the last email with that Windows 7 scanner or that Windows scanner virus. I got hit by one of those, a couple of years ago, I think it was one of those sort of updates or something pops up and says you need a Windows update. And yeah, I know his pain. I had to delete a couple of registry items or something like that. I had to go through it. It's just a lack of concentration for a moment, and you see a Windows update pop up in your bottom right corner, and you think, oh, whatever, you know, quickly click yes and go on, but go back to work, and then you realize what you've done. It's a nasty, simple mistake, but it happens to the best of us. So, yeah, well done to him for getting rid of it.
And don't fall into the trap of, you know, purchase the upgraded tool to remove this virus.
No, I think that's around the point when you realize what you've done, isn't it?
Most
when you
people,
realize,
most but people. But I get them in my shop a lot who've gone through the whole process of giving the credit card number and everything.
Yeah,
so,
poor
the
people.
Idea of viruses, I tell you.
That's why they do it, because they know it must work on some people.
Definitely.
Yeah, unlucky, unfortunate. You learn from your mistakes, I guess.
Definitely. So you guys are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I see a bunch of places here.
Yep, we are, exactly. You'll find us very easily. Facebook.com/Mikogo, Twitter.com/Mikogo. You can search for us on YouTube. Search Mikogo on YouTube. You'll find a few things there. I think it's about it. So, Tim, thanks a lot for having us today.
Hey, not a problem. And I missed a commercial here today. I want everybody to use Fab's Auto Backup. If you go to fabspodnuts.com/fabs is where you can get the Fab's Auto Backup. Well, I want to thank everybody for supporting Podnuts Daily, listening to Podnuts Daily. You can sign up for a Podnuts Daily show at podnuts.com/guests. You could also find me at timscomputerfix.com. You can email me, like the emails, keep them coming, timster@podnuts.com. So until next time, everyone, keep on fixing those computers.
Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.